Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the clustering section. Our first speaker is Marijke van Moerbeke from the Hasselt University, who will talk about integrated cluster analysis with the in-class R package. Welcome, Marijke.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Marijke van Moerbeke. I'm a PhD student at Hasselt University, and today I will introduce you into the in-class R package, which I have developed during my PhD. So often we find ourselves trying to solve a research question with the help of many collaborators. And each of these collaborators brings to you a data set. About every time it's the same set of objects, compounds, patients that are being investigated. And now it is your job to try to integrate these into a whole, either trying to solve the research question or come to a conclusion about it, or maybe to come up with a new hypothesis that can go back to the lab and test it and such that the process can start it again. Now, if you are in this situation, the in-class package might be something you would like to try out, especially when your setting is when you're working with many data sets and where it is not a necessity that all of the data sets are of the same type. So you can have continuous data as well as binary data. And if you feel that a single data set is only giving you a limited point of view, if it does not really seem to be everything that you would like to use, you would like to know more and use all of the data sets at once, then the in-class package might be something you would like to use, as its goal is to try to integrate different pieces of information. Our main principle is a similarity principle, or similarity approach. If compounds or patients, objects are behaving similar to each other on one data set, why wouldn't they behave similar to each other on the other data sets as well, so that you can actually actively link these two data sets? And our main method to try to come to a conclusion in this research question is clustering. So often when you perform clustering, you get a data set, you do clustering analysis, and you get a cluster of interest. And you get a second data set, and you do something very similar. But it's never, it's not a necessity that the cluster that you found on the first data set, this one, that the cluster you found on the first data set here is showing also similarity on this data set, as it was not involved in the clustering process. So therefore, we would like to move from a single source clustering framework to a multi-source clustering framework in which the data sets are combined either within or before the cluster analysis. This depends a little bit from the method to the method. And in the end, you will end up with one cluster. But this cluster is showing a similarity on each of the data sets that you have used as input. Now, there are already a number of methods out there. This is just a listing and a very short description in the table. A few of them have already been implemented in the in-class package, which is available on CRAN at the moment, and the others will follow shortly after the summer. But let's take a look at an example, as an example might often say a lot more than 1,000 words. So my research is mainly located in drug discovery, so I'll talk about an example in drug discovery. And one of the most prominent goals in drug development is try to describe the mechanism of action of a new compound. How is a compound working in the cell, to what it is reacting, to what it is not reacting. But this remains a challenge still to this day. But luckily, we find a lot of information about this compound, namely, for example, on the fingerprints, which say something about the real molecular structures of the compound. Target predictions, which are the proteins the compound is expected to interact with. Bioassays, gene expressions, and many more. As you could really say here that a single data source is very limited in its point of view. Fingerprint data will only tell you something about fingerprint data. While it's actually the fingerprint data or the molecule structure of the compound that's going to make sure that the compound is going to interact with the target, which is then a protein which then might regulate the gene expression to make sure that a particular gene is going upregulated or downregulated. So all of this is actually interconnected. And therefore, we are encouraging to associate multiple sources of information. And one of the projects we as a team of the Hasselt University have been involved in before was the QSTAR project, in which we try to associate the chemistry of compounds with their bioactivity and with their gene expression to really try to describe the mechanism of action of a compound. So one of the methods in the QSTAR framework was the clustering as well. So we took a data set, for example, the fingerprint data, which is referred to here on the slide as a chemical property. We performed cluster analysis. We found a compound cluster, and then we related gene expression to it. So we could hypothesize already about which fingerprints or which molecules structures are making sure that some genes are being upregulated or downregulated. Then you can also take a different data set, for example, bioactivity data set, target predictions, and do a very similar analysis, and again, link these two data sets. But it's actually all everything behind the gene expression data set is the both data sets at the same time. Both of them are going to make sure that a particular gene is going to be upregulated or downregulated. So therefore, we would like to move from the single source to the multi-source clustering and really get a cluster here which is showing a similarity to each other on both data sets and then see which genes are being being regulated. So this is an example data set, so it has a number of compounds, and the data sets that I'm going to integrate together are a fingerprint data set and a target prediction data. So here the two data sets are binary, but that's not necessary. You can have continuous binary of two continuous as well. But it's always interesting in the first phase to look at the single source clustering frameworks. What do they look like just separate from each other, and how are they compared to each other? So therefore, we were looking first at the single source clustering. So here on the figure on the right, we see the dendrogram after performing clustering on the fingerprint data set. And I cut this cluster into seven, dendrogram in seven clusters, and every cluster was given a color. So brown cluster here and a pink cluster at the end. This dendrogram formation is exactly represented by the first line here on the figure on the right. So here are the compound names, and then we see here these four compounds in brown are exactly these four boxes as well. But now it's interesting to see what is the clustering of a target prediction related or compared to the fingerprint clustering. So we can also perform the fingerprint target prediction clustering, of which the dendrogram is visualized here, and we can compare it to the target prediction clustering with the means of the compare plot code, which is here at the bottom. So here we can see, for example, that this green cluster is almost completely retrieved, except for this blue one, which goes out and shows the blue cluster. And here there is it's less visible, but there is a green colored box here. So this one joins the green cluster in comparison with the fingerprint clustering. So now we know more or less what the comparison is between the two data sets in terms of similarity between the compounds. And we see that there is already quite a lot of similarity between them. So a number of clusters are always retrieved to be together for each of the data sets, but there are some differences as well, for example, here. Let's now integrate them. So one of the methods that's available in the package is quite simple and quite straightforward. It is the weighted clustering analysis. So we start with two data sets, but you can have as many as you would like. And the first thing to do is to calculate the distance matrices, W1 and W2, for each of the data sets. And then the thing is to combine them via a weighted linear combination. So you give a weight delta to the first one, and 1 minus the weight to the second one, such that the sum of these weights is always 1. You end up with one weighted cluster, one weighted combination, W, on which then the clustering is performed. Of course, you can let this weight delta vary. You can choose whatever this is. But there is also some investigation going on to an optimal weight as well. But just for trying out, let us see what the result would be if we give each of them an equal weight, equal importance. Then we can plot the similarity heat map here. And this is then the result. So the darker the shade, the more similar the compounds are. So we can see that there are some very similar compounds that are retrieved here with a very high similarity between each other. Of course, now the question is, did we achieve what we wanted? Did we indeed get clusters that are similar to both of the data sets that we have used as inputs? So we will look at two clusters, this one here and the one, the little one next to it. Let's first take a look at the fingerprints. So this figure can also be made with easily with a package. Here on the bottom you have again the compound names. Here on the right are the fingerprint names. The cluster of interest is colored in green. Other compounds are colored in blue. If it's a hit or a one in the binary matrix, it's just a colored box. So here we see the compounds hitting a few targets, which are very similar in the cluster and very characteristic for the cluster, while compounds outside of the cluster do not have this target or are not really having it. And the same goes for the smaller cluster as well. So here we see a high similarity on these fingerprints. So for fingerprint data, we have checked it, this is fine. And also for target prediction data, we found a high similarity. So here we see the target predictions of the cluster of interest, the first one. Again, we see that these compounds are hitting a number of targets, which are all in common for the cluster, and the same goes for the smaller cluster as well. So we have indeed achieved what we wanted. The cluster that we get here at the end is showing a similarity on each of the data sets that we have used as inputs. You can do some further analysis with this package as well. So for example, you can look into the gene expression. Again, we are plotting the gene expression of our cluster of interest versus the other compounds. So this is not really some gene that really stands out, but it's just for illustration purposes. You can really plot it and investigate if now we can find some we have found a cluster that is showing similarities on both data sets and is inducing some gene expression. But and as I said, you can let the weight vary. So here is how it goes from a full fingerprint clustering all the way to a full target production clustering and how it changes if you change the importance of each of the data sets. So for example, as soon as a little bit of this target prediction information is involved, we see that these two compounds shift from the yellow cluster to join the blue cluster here. And some other features, so maybe you're not really interested in trying to integrate data, but you just like a good comparison or a nice quick comparison about your data sets in terms of clustering, that can be done as well. And it's something that we are working on very recently, and I will give you a little bit of drug development explanation, is the integration of target prediction scores. So it was believed that we had one drug, one target, and it fitted as a key in a lock, and that was just it. It was a single target perception. But this is no longer seen to be very true, and the new paradigm is polypharmacology, and basically that means that every compound, every drug is allowed to interact with multiple targets. On average, these are 6 to 7 targets, but it could be many more, could also be a lot less. Now, the nice application of polypharmacology is drug repurposing, because you know in the older days, when there was one drug, one target, these drugs are approved. They have passed these risk analysis and approved by the FDA. They are okay to work with. Now it's a good thing to see if they interact with some new targets and maybe can help us be a medicine for another disease. And it will save a lot of time and money because they have passed these very difficult first phases. And now with the polypharmacology paradigm in the back of our minds, there have been one principle, and from the principle there's also a field that emerged. So the principle is a similarity principle, which I already mentioned a little bit before, namely that similar targets will interact with similar compounds will interact with similar targets. If compounds look the same in their molecular structure, they will interact with similar targets. And from this principle, there is a field that emerged, which is chemogenomics. And the chemogenomics field tries to detect all the targets based on the chemical space. And from these two, machine learning algorithms have been evolved to try. We are trained on the chemical spaces of all the compounds and are now trying to predict the targets. But we have a lot of machine learning algorithms. There are many different classifiers out there. So now our goal is, or our research is going in trying to see what happens if we use different classifiers. Do they come up, each of them, with unique predictions, or do they all come up with the same predictions? So that's what we're going into now. And I will quickly show you some other features of the package, which are mainly used for comparison. So for example, we can have not a rectangular compare plot, but a circular compare plot. I will admit that the naming is not yet on point. So here you can see, for example, what the similarities of the compounds look like for each of the four data sets. For each of the four data sets which were each obtained by each one of the four classifiers. So for example, you can look into this set of compounds, which are referred to as antipsychotic compounds. And you can see that each one of them is expressing a similarity on each of the data sets. So they are expressing similarity. They are found to be similar to each other. But this does not imply that each of these data sets is predicting the same targets for this set of compounds. And that is what we can see here very clearly. So all of these, this is a figure. Again, these are compounds of interest. These are the other compounds. And all, that does mean that these targets have been predicted by all of the methods. Because all of the methods predict these targets for this set of compounds, therefore, it's highly confident. We can be quite sure that this is indeed an active target for these compounds. But here at the bottom, for example, we only see that the naive Bayes predicted these targets, and that random forest only predicted these targets. So there is some unique prediction now there as well. And of course, now the rest of the research will be, does this mean anything? Is this a meaningful result? Or don't we have, shouldn't we put too much confidence in them? So as a conclusion, I would like to say that sometimes a single data source is quite limited in its point of view and will only show you one aspect of the underlying mechanism. And we are trying to combine multiple sources to gain a lot of information about the mechanism of action in my case, but it can be any set of objects, basically. So this package is already online on PAN and will probably follow an update shortly after the summer. Then there only rests me to thank our collaborators with the University of Hasselt, Janssen Pharmaceutics, the University of Cambridge, and also my co-promoter from the Durham University. And of course, thank you for your attention. Thanks.
So there's time for one quick question. Are there any questions or comments? So thank you again. Okay.